coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Wednesday, July 10, 10th day of July, 2024. I want to thank you for your belief and trust in this platform of a lot. Just a tremendously information-packed show for you. Another investigative analysis that I've been really thinking about in terms of where we're at as a nation. Many pundits, many commentators, many platforms discuss, well, you know, what is the condition of Joe Biden going to do for the election? What about the nominees and the particulate matter of the politics of the situation? Very few appear to be asking about, well, what's this do to our nation? Where are we as a nation today, right now? A very tenuous time for the U.S. Going to be getting into that. Of course, yesterday, the 75th anniversary of NATO. Thank you. And the push of NATO, by NATO, to push us into a kinetic third world war, that possibility there. And by world war, I'm talking about three different areas of operation, from the South China Sea, or really the China-Taiwan, I suppose, would be one area. Another area, of course, is Ukraine. And then, of course, the Middle East is the third area, not necessarily in any specific order. So you've got this. While we as a nation are hobbled by an obviously cognitively impaired commander-in-chief, chief executive, as the president, we are facing just unprecedented world danger as well as domestic danger. Before I get into the meat of the program, you know, yesterday again, I was out on my patio with the lady, my studio dog, and we began to sweat it up. I'm telling you, it was oppressive. It was warm. It was muggy. But thanks to EasySummerCool.com, EasySummerCool.com. Let me show you the box. Let me show you what this looks like. Here it is right here. It's really a portable air conditioner, and it really, really works. And with that, to charge it up, here is the charging cord. It's a USB cord, and you can get 6 to 25 hours worth of battery life. Go to EasySummerCool.com. You know, recent forecasts predict that the summer 2024, it's going to be really hot. I mean, hot. Temperatures expected to soar into the triple digits in many areas. Northeast, Midwest, even parts of the Pacific Northwest are expected to experience above normal temperatures, and likely with that, above normal energy bills. Oh, man. Yeah. And this is why I stay cool with that magical little device. I love the cool air, cost savings, and peace of mind it brings. It brings to me that the device fills my area, wherever I'm working, my house, my office, or even off the grid, anywhere I'm at, really, with icy cold air without traditional electricity. It's really a potential lifesaver as well. If a blackout occurs during one of these upcoming deadly heat waves, the new versions include InstaFrost technology that uses revolutionary frost jets to get an instant blast of polar air. I'm telling you, it works. It really works. Lady is thankful. You know, she loves it. She actually kind of tries to hog it, depending on where I put it. But you can put it anywhere you need to cool off, and enjoy up to 25 hours of freezing cold air virtually anywhere. Make yourself as happy and cool as I am this summer by visiting EasySummerCool.com. That's EasySummerCool.com. Or just click on the link in the description box below for up to 60%, that's right, count them, 60% off today with a 60-day risk-free guarantee and fast shipping within the U.S. That's EasySummerCool.com. Really a cool little device, I'm telling you. Pun intended, by the way. All right. I've got I was going over an extension from yesterday's broadcast. Now, yesterday, if you didn't catch yesterday's broadcast, it was, to me, it was rather intense. And I'm looking at the current situation in which we face. From an investigative viewpoint, I've worked fraud investigations, I've worked background investigations, I've worked all sorts of investigations over 3.5 decades. I'm telling you what, there is something that, you know, we know a lot of facts. We've got a lot of all of these facts everywhere, tidbits of facts, and we connect some dots. And sometimes, maybe if we're looking at the, well, you've seen the pictures. Remember when you go into the mall, the pictures that, I don't know, the pictures within pictures within pictures and different things. You know what I'm talking about. If you maybe tilted or squint a little bit, you see something totally different than what is presented. Well, that was what I was trying to do yesterday. And I read over the comments, by the way, on the Rumble channel, which, I ask, please make an account at Rumble and subscribe to Hagman Report, the Hagman Report, okay? I beg you to do that. I love to read the comments. I love the interaction by the people who listen and intellectually consider different things within the program. I just absolutely love it. And I'm telling you, most probably, I mean, 99.9% of the listeners out there, you're like decades ahead of the news and your analytic ability is fantastic. So I appreciate that. But what we have today, really, we have no, the closest thing, I suppose, to where we are today, long time ago, over a century ago, with Woodrow Wilson and Edith Wilson, his wife, when Woodrow suffered a stroke, Edith Wilson came in and essentially, you know, acted as the de facto president of the United States. Now, those were different times, different circumstances. You're talking about, in the early 20th century, the start of the second decade of the 20th century. But there are some similarities, but there are vast differences as well. Back then, we did not have this international threat of nuclear annihilation. Back then, we were not tremendously engaged in foreign entanglements. So what we have right now, and I should also add, although we did have the secret societies and the Masonic influence and the Zionist influence. Yes, I said Zionist. Oh, my goodness. Even though we had these different influences, we did not have what we have today. And what we have today is a whole different story. So what's really going on with Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and everyone surrounding, at least in the inner and mid circles of influence of the Bidens? How about the media? How about the Dems as well as the Rhinos? How about the DNC? How about the Clintons? And as I went through, I worked probably for, this is not about me, but just to give you an example of how I work at this, is I take a look at what's going on inside the Beltway. I take a look at what is said, perhaps in passing, that other people may not think is really important, but you know, when put together, this mosaic of information is brought forth. For example, the DNC, the Democratic Party, which really is not the Democratic Party. It's the party of the Marxists. It's the party of the communists. It's the party of the anarchists. It's the party of the fascists. It's the party of the globalists. They're in disarray right now. I found one revealing clip, and this is I want to show you this. This is only a few seconds long. There was a meeting held this week with key Democratic leaders, senators, and so on. And this is a statement. This was on Telegram, and I saw this on one of the other, I think it was on, it might have been on MSNBC, it might have been on CNBC, on one of the network stations. In fact, it was a longer clip than this. But I keyed on this because I think this clip perhaps tells the inside story of what's going on within the Marxist, globalist, satanically inspired political organization in the U.S. I believe this is one senator, if I'm correct. I looked at hundreds of clips, so I think this is one senator coming out of the meeting and being asked, you know, by a I believe it was a street journalist saying, you guys are you thinking along the same lines? You know, what's the story? Well, watch it for yourself. It's only, I don't know, 15 seconds, if that. What's that? Oh, that's video video three. This is, from Telegram. Basically being asked if they're on the same page, and the response was, in case you miss it, by the way, we're not even in the same book. And I want to start off with that because this exemplifies, I believe, where we're at today in terms of the partisan politics, which will expose, in my view, expose the larger picture of the globalist, the internationalism, as it was once called, as well as the infiltration into all departments in their government, executive level, as well. It's telling. Go ahead. I don't want to talk over it. Go ahead.
You're not on the same page.
No.
What do you mean you're not on the same page?
You're not even in the same book.
Was there you all on the same page?
No.
What do you mean you're not on the same page?
They're not even in the same book.
Now, the long and short of this, the easy explanation, generic explanation, is this is after a meeting of the minds of the leftists in our government, the Marxists in our government, the so-called Democratic Party. And coming out of a meeting of the power brokers, hey, did you come to any agreement with respect to what are you going to do about the candidate for the 2024 election? That was the topic. That was at issue for this. And that gentleman coming out saying, we're not even in the same book. So it's obvious that there is turmoil. There's chaos within the leftist party. Okay, setting the stage. That little few second clip should tell you a lot. And I love, folks, this is how I do things. Okay, you know, I get criticized for dragging things out or for attempting to over-explain things. But a lot of people, I think, having investigative experience, have to be introduced to certain elements that give away the points of the plot that we're watching and we're seeing and experiencing. So that, I think, is very important, and that's an important place to start. So we know right now that there is turmoil, chaos. And this all stems from what? The debate performance on June 27th. And even at this date, July 10th, we're still talking about that? Yeah, we are. People want to know what's going to happen. People don't like uncertainty, and uncertainty is what we are being given. Now, I'm going to spend this part of the program talking about the domestic issues, expanding it out anyway. Look, is that a good Biden impression? Expanding this out into from the domestic turmoil into the ramifications of the world globalist agenda. And by the way, I got a lot of communications about this Project 2025. In fact, Eric the Tech, you walked in the studio today. We were talking, and you said, man, all over social media, Project 2025. Didn't you say that? I mean,
it's hot.
It's hot. But it's a non-starter. It's a non-story. Folks, have you heard about Project 2025? It's a think tank. It's a product of the Heritage Foundation think tank that has really nothing to do with anything, because there are a lot of think tanks out there, a lot of projects, and a lot of papers, policy papers. It doesn't mean anything. Okay, now you might have some people sign on to it, and I'm not demeaning the Heritage Foundation or even the project itself, because I'm in agreement with it. But I showed you yesterday the conservative Republican agenda. And I'm sorry for using the words Democrat and Republican, because really it's all the same party. It's the uniparty. Excuse me. But if you make that distinction, and you have to, in today's conversation, you've got to make the distinction. You've got to say Democrat and Republican, so the normies out there, the normies will understand. You dumb it down to the left-right Republican-Democrat, even though they're part of the same tree. You've got to talk their language, at least until you are able to educate them enough to show them where we're really at. But I showed you the Republican or the GOP platform, and it was comprised of 20 points, and you can get that by opening yesterday's show notes. Click on the link, and they're all there. And there's nothing there I do not agree with. And I don't know if they're in any particular order. It really doesn't matter. Obviously, securing elections should be right up there. And speaking of securing elections, some of the videos I have to show you are part of a meeting of House members talking about the SAVE Act, okay, which it's an initiative in the House, and you've heard this, the SAVE Act. It's an initiative in the House to prevent illegals from voting in elections. And my goodness, you know, it's amazing to watch people say, well, there's no chance of that. That's not going to happen. Yet we have, yet in different states, there are methods and ways where if you are in this country illegally and you can't prove citizenship, you are afforded the opportunity to vote in the federal elections. But the SAVE Act prohibits that, and it's a conservative right-wing initiative in the House that has really virtually no chance in the Senate. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But understand it exists. And anyone who would vote, by the way, against the SAVE Act, securing our elections so the foreigners, the illegals in this country cannot vote. If you are against that, you're a damn traitor to the United States and should suffer the consequences appropriately. And you heard me correctly. Whatever the penalty is for treason, if you're found guilty of that, I think you should experience the full weight of that particular offense. But I digress. The bloom is coming off the rose. The exposure, the level of exposure, and I think early on in this, in my broadcast, early on in the year, I think I mentioned, and folks, you probably know this or remember this more than I do, where I said 2024 will be the year of exposure. And I think that's exactly as we've gone through half of 2024 already, which is hard to believe. I believe that that's where we're at right now is exposure. People are being exposed. Organizations are being exposed. Agendas are being exposed. And this is, I'm looking at a series of video clips here. Now, I want this to make sense. Now, I'm going to frame this properly. In 2019, Joseph Biden was impaired, cognitively impaired. The degree, however, was not necessarily even close to what we're seeing today. But those around him, those closest to him, knew about this, knew about his the early stages of impairment. Now, the reason I don't use dementia at this point, or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, is because I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't have any special insight into his medical records. But we know there's something wrong. We knew that there was something wrong with him during the campaign, at the late stages of the campaign. We knew that. Not only did you and I know this, but Jill Biden knew this. Valerie Biden knew this, his sister. His brother knew this. Every member of his family knew this and attempted and did a fairly decent job of hiding that fact. Why do you think he spent the campaign in his basement? Well, it's basement at Bernie's. I mean, but it wasn't as bad as it is today. And you can pull up clips from 2019, 2020, and compare them to today. And you can see the rapid, obvious, don't believe your lying eyes, decline of the mental acuity and level of functionality, intellectual functionality or rational reason of Joseph Biden. And then the next level of protection would be the advisors, the staffers. And then following that, there was another group running interference, and that was the media. And on par with the media, you had the intelligence community, which was all in for Biden. They had to be, because had Trump prevailed in 2020, well, a lot of the actions that were committed against President Trump and against freedom and against really everything, including and especially the bioweapon attack against the West and against our elections, would be more rapidly made known. So they had to make sure Donald Trump didn't win. That was their objective. So, again, it's very important where we cannot look at what's happening today and not follow, not use our hindsight to go back and say, oh, this is why they did that, or this is what they were doing. So, in other words, what I'm saying is, this is not new. What is new are some of the people who would not ordinarily watch TV, not ordinarily pay attention to politics, saw the unfiltered Biden during that debate, which is why I believe people are still talking about it. But that created a very serious problem for Joe Biden, an extreme, and the left, the apparatus that put him into that office. It's just not a Biden problem. It's the globalist problem. It's a problem for the globalists, because now what? So I've gone through from a constitutional perspective to a political perspective, two different things. And also some of the great minds out there who understand the process, whether it is a party process like the DNC rules and regulations, which, by the way, can be changed on the fly. Just ask Bernie Sanders in 2016. So there is a lot to consider here and a lot at stake. Now, I believe the left is powerful in terms of their unity and unification. I think they've got a better oiled machine than us on the right. That makes them more efficient. It doesn't make them more powerful, but it makes them more efficient. We just have to catch up, and we have to play in the same sandbox by the same lack of rules as they do in order to tamp them out for good, because we have an attack from within by the communist left, by the Marxists, and we have to get rid of them or watch the destruction of our country, because they will cling to power by any means necessary, just to rule over the ashes of our children and our grandchildren. I've said that before. But losing that power will expose them to the criminal, to their criminal complicity, their criminal actions, the facilitation of a web of conspiracy, and they can't have that. That also would expose them to a larger international agenda, the Klaus Schwab agenda, the WEF agenda, even the NATO agenda, UN agenda, the hoax climate stuff. I mean, they've got everything riding on the line. I hope I made sense there. So, again, as I sat there watching different channels and trying to get ready for today in terms of how I can present this to you, I found a couple of things which I really believe will clarify, not confuse, but clarify where we're at, hopefully, as you follow along with me. Now, this is a rather innocuous, somewhat humorous, but rather innocuous video clip. This is cut 4. And folks, again, you can find all of these at HagmanPI.com. Click on the headline or the title for the program. It opens up a box, and underneath episode source links, all of these are there, cited and properly cited, and links to these videos. But this is cut 4. And I found this interesting. You have this one conservative, leftist conservative, barely conservative, schooling, if you will, people at CNN, the Dana Bash and some others at CNN. This, again, think back to that video snippet. We're not even on the same page. Now let's go forward to this CNN clip. And this is, I took this out of a longer clip. This is a minute 47, and it's cut four. Go ahead.
But I got to say this. We got to stop talking about this. We spent a whole week. Republicans are having a great time. We need to get back to talking about Donald Trump and his performance and all the issues that are at stake and the contrast. This has been...
How can we stop talking about it? It's only the commander-in-chief of the United States we're talking about. He's not just a candidate.
Which is why we need to be talking about Donald Trump and all the things that he's done and how he wants to be a dictator and how he wants to make... thinks Roe versus Wade is the greatest thing that he ever did. How he wants to give your billionaire tax friends a tax cut. And thinks January 6th was a great thing.
You give me too much credit. I wish I had some billionaire friends. You've got colleagues, public and private, who want Joe Biden to step down. You've got a lot of colleagues in your conference who want him to get out of the way. And what they're really saying is we don't have confidence in him to lead for the next 4 years, which really means they don't have confidence in him to lead today. This is not a campaign problem. This is a White House problem. There are real questions about whether he's acting independently. He said, by the way, in his interview with Stephanopoulos the other night, he wanted to do three things. Restore decency. Now he's got Hunter Biden running the White House senior staff meetings. He said he wanted to do something for the middle class.
For Hunter Biden's not running the
White House. That's crazy, Scott.
I'm sorry. I'm just reading the journalism. I'm pro-journalist here. I'm reading the journalism about Hunter Biden running the ship here. He said he wanted to help the middle class. They're being ravaged by record inflation. And he said he wanted to unite the country. And he is the most divisive, unpopular president in the modern era. He has failed by his own standards, and now his own party is petrified that you're headed for a historic wipeout in the fall. Now, I think they're dug in like Alabama ticks. I don't think this family's going anywhere, even as Democrats want him to get out of the way, because they know what's coming.
Let me bring Sher-Michael in here. I know you.
So that was Scott Jennings, the political commentator, billed as a conservative on CNN. And what he's saying is, what he is hearing is Biden, of course, is not stepping down, has no intention of stepping down, period. Even in spite of, despite the obvious cognitive impairments that we have seen, that they're saying, don't believe your lying eyes. And there was a slight reference to things like domestic issues like inflation, but even more so, as we get down and dirty into this, what about that 3 a.m. phone call? Okay, no one's thinking, or very few are thinking, about the fate of our nation. Sometimes you have to go places to find clips and to find information that you really don't want to go to. All right, now I'm not really a Hannity fan, okay? I'm not really, on board with Newt Gingrich, but you've got to respect Gingrich in terms of what he's done in the context that he has and the information flow to this guy. This was on Hannity, and this is Newt Gingrich talking. Now, again, in addition to what you saw on CNN, this is a Fox clip from Hannity talking about this terrifying reality that the left has to confront. It's got some nuggets in here that by themselves are important. So again, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't shoot the messenger. Just listen to the information as it becomes part of the bigger picture. This is cut five, and I think the title on this was Newt Gingrich, the Left is Confronting a Terrifying Reality. Here's cut five.
So the calls for Biden to drop out, they have not stopped, but not everyone on the left is on board. Well, our friends at that hard-hitting news show, The View, the co-hosts there, had another meltdown over the growing anti-Biden sentiment. Take a look.
I was watching television all week, and I'm a little tired of all the Biden bashing that's going on. I'm pissed off at it, frankly. There's a lot of Biden bashing going on, and no calls for the sexually abusive felon to step down.
Joyless is pissed off at the Biden bashing, and it got worse as co-host Whoopi Goldberg made this bizarre, pretty, well, offensive, let's say, defense of Biden. Take a look.
I don't care if he's pooped his pants. I don't care if he can't put a sentence together. Show me he can't do the job, and then I'll say, okay, maybe it's time to go. I have poopy days all the time. I step in so much poo you can't even imagine. Now, I'm not running the world, but I don't know anybody who doesn't step in stuff at some point.
Very graphic, I'll say that. Here with reaction, Fox News contributor, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. I don't know. I just never thought I'd ask you this question. Would you react to that?
Sean.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, no. I told Calista what you were going to do, and she said to me, are you nuts? How can you go on a show where the number one topic is Whoopi Goldberg pooping? I mean, there has to be, and I know it's hard, but there has to be some kind of level of, look, what it tells you is the left is literally faced with confronting a reality so terrifying that they're just running in circles and saying weird things. I mean, the truth is, as of tonight, Biden is going to be the Democratic nominee. Biden is going to keep decaying. Biden will almost certainly lose the general election. And by January, the view is going to be in a world where Donald J. Trump is being sworn in as president. Now, if you are one of those folks and you're as left-wing as they are, and frankly, on a good day, they're fairly unbalanced, and now you're faced with this horrifying crisis, you just witnessed the initial meltdown. But I predict, if it happens the way I think it will, all fall, you'll see Biden get weaker, weaker, more embarrassing, more impossible. And by the time we get to the inauguration, you're going to see the left just literally melt down. Some of them will be in puddles.
Can you pause that for a second? I just have a couple of comments to make on this. If the commander-in-chief, I don't care who it is, if the commander-in-chief is not up to running a campaign or running for a second term, then he cannot be the president of the United States, must not allow to be running the country. Now, what Gingrich is saying, you're going to see him decay in real time. And I don't want to get too graphic here, but if you've ever seen a corpse decay, okay, and you've got to move that. Believe me, skin sloughage and things fall off, and it's not a pretty sight. But are they willing, is the left willing to put this country in peril to keep him on the ballot? If they attempt to remove him, then they must admit he cannot do the job today. This is what that clip is all about. It's really not about the Whoopi Goldbergs. I mean, I've seen those clips, and I was going to play them independently, but you know what? It's just sickening. And then you heard the audience clapping and laughter and all of this. Those people, well, they're commanded to laugh by signs to the audience, but anyway, or clap or whatever, laugh. But the fact of the matter is, we're talking about an issue of national security in all avenues, whether it be international or domestic, whether it be policy or procedure. This is as serious as it gets. And yet you've got morons like Jon Stewart at night, morons like Stephen Colbert, morons out the wazoo, thinking that this really isn't a problem. Now, I believe it's this clip that it's important to listen to the, I think it's in this clip. We'll just continue with this. And again, please listen to the nuggets. Disregard the perhaps messenger, but key in on the message. Here it is.
Be admitting themselves into mental health institutions. Some will be fleeing to New Zealand. It'll be an amazing moment.
You're a historian, you're a professor on top of being a former speaker. From a historical vantage point, when you look at the magnitude of the cover-up, everybody around him has known this. Everybody in the media mob, they've all known it. I spent 4 years showing video after video after video, even before the 2020 election. Democrats, they've all known it. Now they're acting surprised. Why the conversion? Is it the polls, the panic, what?
Look, well, two things. One, someday, an eager investigative reporter is going to write a brilliant book on how it happened, because it is so unimaginable that every reporter in the White House press conference, everybody who encountered him, everybody who worked with him, that there was this giant conspiracy. And by the way, I do think that George Stephanopoulos today, even though he didn't know that he was being taped, but the fact that he would say after his interview, he literally does not think that Biden can be president for 4 more years. I mean, for Stephanopoulos, who worked for Bill Clinton, to say that, I think tells you an enormous amount about where we are. But there's a second part to this, which is what happened, and Clinton and I happened to be in Rome, and we got up at 3 a.m. to watch this thing live, because we both had this instinct that you couldn't read about it later. You had to see it. And I have to tell you, I was just stunned. It never occurred to me that you would get 90 minutes, and I feel sad for him. You know, it's like somebody's great-grandfather or grandfather who just can't function, and you're watching him disintegrate. And I had the same feeling in the Stephanopoulos interview. Costa said to me earlier that she thought you could see George was sad doing the interview because he knew he was going through the motions with a man who couldn't possibly do the job. And this is where it's going to change. For the last 2 weeks, the question has been, will he stay on the ticket? In a couple of weeks from now, if it's clear that he's going to stay on the ticket, the issue will be, can he really do the job for 4 years? And the country will realize it's impossible. It couldn't possibly work.
Okay, you can cut that there. There's more to that. But you get the idea. You get the drift. There was, and still is, a conspiracy of silence. And this is a criminal conspiracy by the media, by Jill Biden, by the entire Biden crime family, by Nancy Pelosi, by Mayorkas, by the various Congress critters out there saying, hey, he's sharp as a tack. I met him. Oh, man, your photographic memory. Really? That's your story? And you're sticking to that story? I don't think so. Why is this important? Why am I talking about this post-debate as if, you know, look, there's a lot more stuff going on than this. Because this, to me, exposes the agenda and exposes the individuals involved in the conspiracy without any plausible deniability whatsoever. So you will be able to go back and say, all right, you, Mayorkas, are guilty of treason. There's no other way around it, or you are being arrested for treason. And by the way, the talk of retribution or revenge, as the left puts it, in my book, is the letter of the law and a working justice system. Because if you are willing to hide, if you are willing to lie, to cover up an issue of this magnitude, you are selling out your country. You are selling out the future of us and our children and our children, children's children. That's what you're guilty of. Our country is on the line. And that's why this is so important. Policy decisions, by the way, at the executive level, they're made by one person and one person alone, or at least that's the way it should be. And we'll talk about this in a second. And that's by the executive officer, and that would be the president of the United States. But he was elected on a lie. He was propped up by people involved in the conspiracy to put him in that position and pass him off as someone who was or is sharp as a tack, who is capable of executing his executive duties, when in fact none of that is true. So what do you have? What was created by design? An executive position by committee. Well, who's involved in that committee, aside from the obvious? Who? Well, hang on. The House, just to add a little bit more fuel to this, to give you a few more receipts to show you that other people are awakened to this. The House Republican leaders held their weekly press briefing. Now, the topic of that press briefing was the SAVE Act. Again, a House initiative, a House bill to prevent illegals from voting. That was the huge topic. Doesn't have a chance in hell of getting through the Senate. So it's a waste of time to look at it from that perspective. So what else could we glean from that briefing? Well, I'll show you. This is video 6 in the show notes. I've got really two cuts, cut A and cut B. The first one out is Elise Stefanik, again, heading up the SAVE Act. But the comments before that introduction of the actual legislation are extremely important. The same with Mike Johnson, two power brokers in the House in D.C. What do they have to say about the issues that we're facing, the crisis that we're facing with the executive branch? And believe me, this is a crisis of epic proportions. So what do they have to say? Not about the SAVE Act, because we know that that's really all smoke and mirrors and flowery stuff that's not going to go anywhere, at least not in this Congress. So what can we glean from that? Well, here's some comments. This is cut A. It's a minute 14. Go ahead.
Good morning. There is no longer any doubt that Joe Biden is unfit to be our commander-in-chief. The Biden White House, far-left House Democrats, and the mainstream media are in complete disarray because they know this to be true and have been caught participating in one of the greatest media cover-ups in American history. For the last 3.5 years, House Republicans and the American people have been demanding details about Joe Biden's mental and physical decline. But every time we raise these legitimate concerns, far-left Democrats and their loyal stenographers in the mainstream media rushed to Biden Biden's defense, claiming that the clearly diminished Joe Biden was as sharp as ever and accusing us of peddling conspiracy theories. The cover-up is over and accountability is here. For years, House Republicans have known that Joe Biden is unfit for office. We also know that he will go to any lengths to maintain his grip on power. This is why it is so crucial that we take every possible measure to ensure that the 2024 presidential election is free from election interference and is constitutional.
Okay. I like Elise Stefanik. I do like her. But that does not get her off the hook. If she knew how bad it was in 2019, how bad he was in 2019, 2020, and really didn't make that a core issue for the American people, then I'm sorry, you're as guilty as anyone. Next, we have speaker the same from the same conference, which was, I think, a half hour long or a little bit longer. Mike Johnson coming out, the Speaker of the House. Now, he gets into a little bit more detail, but the fact of the matter is, we have to start asking the questions, who knew about this and when did they know it? Well, taking Elise Stefanik at her word, and again, I like her, but where was she in 2019? Where was she in 2020? Where was she in educating and trying to expose this to the American public that we have a problem? We don't have a president. We have a presidency by commission, by this. He's not running anything. His advisors are. His handlers are. And that's not acceptable. I think it's Federalist 70 that addresses that very topic. So do they have blood on their hands, so to speak? I do suspect. Here's Mike Johnson. Again, the spineless Mike Johnson. And I'm getting tired of people without the backbone of hey, we'll just write a strongly worded letter. All of this is political theater. That's all it is. But when you go out on the street and you talk to people, and again, this is why I'm doing this, a lot of people had no idea. And a lot of people still have no idea that we are being, that our country is not on autopilot. It is being run by a globalist, a cabal of globalists. And that does include people on the right. Go ahead and play cut two of the same video, video six.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. Thank you all for being here on what is, I believe, the smallest crowd ever assembled for a Republican press conference. I don't know where everybody is this morning. Oh, they're chasing down the Democrats for a change. This is a really interesting phenomenon. And the reason it's so noteworthy and the reason that most of the Hill press are following the Democrats around now, we had almost no one outside our conference meeting this morning. Normally, you're all there gathered in the hallways. They're busy because they're chasing down our Democrat colleagues and asking them about Joe Biden's mental acuity and their efforts to cover it up. And that's what it's been. I mean, we could give you example after example after example. It's all on tape. It's all on record. Everybody knows it. Democrats, our colleagues, for 3.5 years have been covering up this glaring problem. The staff in the White House have been covering it up, and so have the Democrats in Congress. Just last month, I brought a couple of examples. Representative Dan Goldman said Biden was sharper than anyone he'd spoken to and that he has, quote, a photographic memory, unquote. Representative Eric Swalwell said that Biden put many of us to shame with his energy. I mean, there are example after example after example, leading Democrats and noteworthy Democrats on the Hill who have not been in the dark about this. They've been saying things I think most of them understand is simply not true, and they've misled the American people. And this is dangerous. We have the NATO summit going on, the 75th anniversary of NATO here, all of our guests from around the world. What we're projecting from the White House is not strength right now. at a very dangerous time around the world. And that's why the American people are so alarmed by this. That's why the polls say that most of the Americans, people understand that, Joe Biden is not fit for that office. And it's a terrible thing. The Democrats have misled us, and they need to be held accountable for that.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing, Speaker Johnson. Where were you at your earliest moments as Speaker? You knew this, as well as all pretty much everyone who ever had contact with Biden knew exactly what was going on. So the pool of suspects in this conspiracy is broadening. You've got, again, the family. You've got the inner circle, the family. You've got the staffers within the White House. Then you've got the legislators, the cabinet members, the vice president. They're all involved in this conspiracy of silence and cover-up. So when you hear mentions, for example, and perhaps you have, of President Trump talking, I think he referenced military tribunals. It was almost tongue-in-cheek, but not necessarily. But boy, you mention that publicly. Anyone would mention that publicly on any talk show. Oh, you want to throw us all in jail? For what? For attempting to save democracy, which isn't even, we're not a democracy. But those are the talking points. Now, I'm going to wrap this up and tell you where I think this is all headed based on what you saw and based on what you're going to see here momentarily. I'm going to wrap it all up and tell you what I believe has to happen. And I suspect it will happen. And I suspect it's going to happen sooner rather than later. Could it be an October surprise? Perhaps. But I think it would benefit the globalist infiltration, the globalists who have infiltrated the government, the Marxists, the communists, to make it happen sooner rather than later. And I'm going to tell you what I think is going to happen. Before I do, you know, I just want to mention this. If you suffer from any kind of daily pain, I really need you to listen to this message really carefully. What we know about the root cause of pain is changing forever. As we age, aches and pains are natural. Everyone I know, we're all searching for effective ways to relieve pain without side effects or fear of addiction or anything like that. So let's be frank. We have all seen the horrors of the opioid crisis, which I've got my own views on, but I won't go there. And you might have gotten caught up in that as well. This is where a pioneering medical scientist comes in, Clint Winters. Have you heard of him? I got a video that you got to see. You may have seen this world-renowned health expert featured in the national media. And he's unveiled a natural pain reliever that's taking the world by storm. And what I'm talking about is a specific substance, canolidine. Have you heard of it? There it is on screen. That's the canolidine, the 100% drug-free way to get full body pain relief without dangerous pills. Now, as you read this, or as you look at that, canolidine has become the go-to pain reliever for over 1 million Americans and really hundreds of professional athletes. I had no idea how many athletes knew about this. I didn't. I do now, and I'm recommending this for you. It's so powerful that it's even used extensively by UFC fighters, and those guys know a thing or two about managing pain. Now get this. Clint explains how canolidine or canolidine, depending on how you want to pronounce it, is the only compound on earth that optimizes your body's natural painkillers. They're called endorphins at any age. Austin Brewer and I talk about that. Ted Brewer and I talk about that. When taken daily, your body will fire back to relieving pain like you were in your prime in just days. And this stuff works. Now, I was skeptical, but it works. I've tried just about everything, and I have not felt this great in years. It's like all of my daily aches and pains are fading away. My back, my neck, my joints, muscles. Hey, you know what? They're feeling better. And the only change, the biggest change, is this. So, canolidine has no documented side effects after 14 years of extensive testing. That's great news. And hear me when I say this. Canolidine is absolutely the future of pain relief. So, if you are dealing with pain, make sure to click on the link below and check out Clint's amazingly informative report on 100% American-made canolidine. This innovation is changing lives forever. It provides safe and powerful relief at one-tenth the cost of pain pills, pain medication. Now, here's the best part. When you click on the link below today, you can access the only canolidine product in the world for less than $1 a day. It's that simple, it's that easy, and that inexpensive. This private link now and discount will stay active until midnight tonight. Folks, this is exclusive to the Hagmann Report, so please do this. Try canolidine risk-free for 90 days, full 90 days. You've got nothing to lose. You're days away from finally beating pain forever. You go to, if you're listening to this, go to Tricono, that's C-O-N-O, T-R-Y-C-O-N-O, Tricono.com/Hagmann. Do it now and see for yourself. Again, that's Tricono.com/Hagmann. Do it now. Again, this offer scheduled to expire at midnight, so do it now. All right. Make sure you click that link in the description box. Okay, so now, as I continue on with this, there was a reference made to, obviously, the debate, the attempts to rehabilitate Biden post-debate. You know, that interview with Snuffleupagus. And then, of course, he went out and did a few things, and now he's at NATO. Okay. After that interview with George Stephanopoulos, or Snuffleupagus, after that interview, he was caught on the street. I don't know how many people saw this. This was reported by TMZ. This is cut 10. Video 10, I should say, in the show notes. Stephanopoulos said Biden can't serve 4 more years. This is a guy who sat with him. So again, the exposure, the revelations are there for even the most obtuse relative, coworker, friend, neighbor you've got. They're all there for everyone to see. This is cut 10.
Hey, Susan. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What do you think? Do you think Biden should step down? You talk to him more than anybody else have lately, and you could be honest.
Serve 4 more years.
You don't think he can serve 4 more years? All right, that's an answer.
Well, okay. You might think, well, so what? Well, believe me, he was involved in the Clinton regime administration. The guy is plugged in, and he, look, take it for what it's worth, but he even is saying, no, this can't go on. All right, now, let's kind of flip, and let's address some real issues here about what can be done, and what's being planned, I believe, is being planned behind the scenes. Now, this is cut 2. This is video 2. Darren Beatty is one of my favorite investigative reporters, investigative journalists. And he was, he appeared on, it might have been War Room. I'm not sure. Yeah, I think it was. I saw this. I think this might have been from yesterday or even earlier today. I'm not certain. But according to Darren Beatty, factions in the Democratic Party, the left, they're engaged in a power struggle over Biden's continuing on as a candidate, and I'll even say it, as president. Consider what he's got to say. And then as you listen to this, consider the options of the left. This is video two in the show notes.
No, the Democrat Party, sometimes it can seem it, but it's not actually monolithic. And just like the deep state itself, there are many sub-factions within the Democrat Party, within the various Democrat patronage families. Yeah. It's like even the mafia famously had five families, right? So Trump, thankfully, knocked out two of the most famous political mafia families, namely the Clintons. And the Bushes, but still there's a looming presence. And in particular in the Democrat Party, there's been a lot of pressure, of course, for Biden to step aside. Now, I've been very public for quite a while now in saying that Biden is going to resist this vigorously and probably won't end up stepping aside unless there's some kind of catastrophic medical issue that forces him to, but he's not going to listen to pressure. He's not going to listen to, I don't know if you could call it reason, because there is frankly a very good case to be made that the Democrats are worse off replacing him at this late hour than they would be trying their chances with this sort of weekend Ed Bernie's approach, just keeping him out of the limelight as much as possible and dragging him over the finish line if they can do it. So I actually think if I were the Democrats, I would want to keep Biden in simply because as bad as Biden looks against Trump, they're in an even worse position to have to replace him at this late hour and all of the chaos that that would engender.
Yeah, I've agreed with your analysis there. And it's interesting this morning, I think James Carville came out with a piece. And he wants to have a no holes barred Democratic candidate open house forum debate on the most serious issues of our day. And I think the strategy there is to bypass the vice president, Kamala Harris. And so he says, you know, thesis statement, Biden cannot win. And so right now, if you share that idea that Biden can't win, do you think there is a possibility they open up the convention for this type of national debate?
Well, I think they're probably right that Biden can't win, but I still think Biden has the best chance of winning relative to, again, this late hour replacement. And Carville seems to be in fantasy land, especially if he thinks they're going to replace Biden by someone who isn't Kamala. You know, Kamala is famously detested by just about everyone within the Democrat Party. But recently, I think you noticed and everyone noticed, there was a big push. Kamala was flexing. And you had major African-American leaders come out and say, look, if there are any would-be puppeteers who are thinking of a situation in which we replace Biden by someone who isn't Kamala, you better think again. Kamala is the heir apparent and she's next in line. Now, there may have been a variety of motivations for that. Maybe Kamala actually thought she was making a move. But in effect, what she was doing is reinforcing her position as Joe Biden's insurance policy, because she's saying, yep, I'm not going to go quietly. And therefore, people can say, oh, my God, if we want to get rid of Joe, we're going to have to deal with Kamala. It's going to be even more of a nightmare on top of all the other problems attendant to this late hour chaotic replacement fantasy. Yep. So they're just damned if they do, damned if they don't. And I think they won't do it. They'll go for the path of least resistance and hope that Biden can make it. And by make it, I mean that in the literal sense, make it without any kind of catastrophic medical failure. And right. still, you know, they have structural aspects working in their favor. The media will, you know, even though it's pushing against Biden now, the media will ultimately favor whoever the Democrat is, likely Biden. They have all kinds of shenanigans going on, you know, relevant to these, you know, the border, people coming in through the border and various ways that they can rig the election through that. But they're in a tough spot because, you know, I think 2020 was a high water mark for election rigging. They're not going to have the mass mail-in ballots. They don't have COVID like they did in 2020. They don't have censorship like they did in 2020. All of the files came out, the Twitter files and so forth. Twitter is now under new management. So, yes, there will be censorship, but 2020 was a high water mark. So in terms of censorship, in terms of election rigging, 2020 was the high water mark. And now they're stuck with a guy who is clearly mentally disabled, clearly not functional, but they're stuck in a position where they can't really get rid of him. So they're in a very, very bad bind here. They're in a very unenviable position, and everybody knows it.
Yep, spot on. Let me, Darren, you're kind of the cream of the crop when it comes to the three-letter agencies and the globalist forces, the elitist forces. It's hard to track down exactly what that means. There's a lot of complexity there, right? I mean, you've got Soros, you've got Davos, you've got the defense establishment, you've got China and all those minions and funding. You've got the CIA, the FBI, the State Department. And so give us your best sense of this is not going to be a clean transition, right? No one's going to lay down all of these powerful billionaire forces, right? So who's a proxy for what when it comes to these globalists, the Clinton administration? Who are they with? The Obamas? Who are they with? Biden? Who wants to see him continue in power? Maybe because they're getting their way with him. And that's a big, huge question. But you've been on this from the beginning, and the posse's fascinated with these globalist elitist forces that haven't been, you know, perfectly specified yet.
Well, that's a much larger conversation, the various factions of the regime and of the deep state. As for Biden, I think it's a more simple answer is to say that the people invested in Biden's continued presence in the White House are the people who directly benefit from that. And that's famously Jill Biden and his immediate family, but it extends outward to Biden's inner circle and even a lot of people like at the periphery, not even an inner circle, maybe the middle circle. And that's, I think, something that was overlooked in a lot of the early enthusiasm for this idea that the Democrats, the amorphous, ambiguous they, quote unquote, would get rid of him. Well, who are the they? Once you look at who the people actually are, the people, for instance, in the DNC who would have to vote to change the rules to get rid of him, they're stacked with Biden loyalists. And so one thing that's pretty reliable in politics is people don't want anything to happen that reduces their power, their access, and their influence. And so notwithstanding all of the pretty talk about what's good for the country, which is probably the last thing on the agenda, certainly for any of these Democrats, you can't expect these people within Biden's inner circle to act against their own interests and push him out and then go out the door with him. It's just that doesn't work that way. So there's not an incentive alignment. And then you have people, I think, who are more shrewd within the Democrat Party who realize, as bad as it is and as bad as it looks to have Biden in there, it's going to be even worse to have this last minute chaotic thing where they can't even agree on somebody. They get rid of him, either replace him by Kamala, who everyone hates and who's even less popular than a brain dead Biden, or overstep Kamala and rattle the hornet's nest even more of the base and maybe aggrieved minorities who think they're getting the short shrift. So, again, it's a really bad position. They could have avoided this had they only had this conversation a year ago.
Okay, you can cut
and
this.
Ironically, as I've
okay,
stated.
And I would watch the entire thing. The important parts here, I think Darren Beatty, who, by the way, understand he investigated everything from Spygate to the January 6th, the DNC and the pipe bomber broke a lot of stories. So he knows the players involved, which is why I put a lot of stock into what he says. But the things that he pointed out, you've got a captured media really in the tank for the left. You've got the illegal component, the illegal voters that are being counted upon. And don't forget, Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is stacked with the majority are leftists, had now made the decision to allow ballot boxes to return to Wisconsin. So with Wisconsin now, you're going to have the drop boxes available in addition to every other possible rigging scenario. So although he calls 2020 a high mark in election rigging, it's continuing into 2024, especially in Wisconsin, based on the most recent Supreme Court ruling of the state of Wisconsin, from the state of Wisconsin. But again, there are other factors. This rigged election is a big factor. But the issue here, the other issue, and he noted this, are the money interests within the DNC, because there's $100 million at play here. And I'm not sure if I have one that gets into this. There's $100 million at play committed to Biden/Harris, or at least Biden as the presidential candidate. Now, that cannot be easily extracted. And I think Darren Beatty gets into it. If not, it's on another clip I've got. Again, Hagman PI, you can watch them all. So where am I going with all of this, showing you all of this, and some of it seemingly disparate? So it's like, how can this be connected with anything? They're going to have to get rid of Joe Biden. Because at this point, when you think about this, with all of the media, with the exception of the mopes from The View, with the exception of some of the real whack jobs on late night TV, I suspect that they, to make things as clean as possible, Biden is going to have to exit stage left as a martyr, or as someone who had this unfortunate accident or medical condition, not totally unexpected, but to clear the way. That's about the cleanest way that anything that this transition could be made. And to those people out there who say, well, that's just sounds too conspiratorial, think about Scalia. Think about what they did to Richard Nixon, the intelligence community. You heard Darren Beatty talking about the different elements in response to a question by David Bratt. These elements are all working in concert with one another for a single interest. And that single interest is the destruction of the U.S. as a representative republic. And very quickly, this is video 9. We'll skip to video 9. This is Jesse Waters. Although Jesse Waters, it's a humorous take on things, the subject matter is intensely serious. Joe Biden's ex-press secretary, this is with Jesse Waters, says Joe Biden's ex-press secretary says Joe Biden alone won't make decisions for Biden to stay in the race. But there's additional information beyond that title. And I just want to play a few minutes of this. I think it's a 7-minute long exchange. Just a few minutes. So you get the idea that the insiders, I believe, know or at least suspect what will be happening. There are people out there, you know, with a wink and a nod and a nudge. Okay, this is what we need to do in order not to suffer the chaos of a brokered convention. Although that's still a possibility. Just play, go ahead and play cut nine.
Biden may be fighting to hold on to power, but some on the left have seen enough and they want to commit political euthanasia.
If I have to be the only one to stand up for Joe Biden here, to protect him from the cruelest form of elder abuse I've ever been forced to watch, well, then that's what I'll do. He was in epic distress that Thursday night. Every cognitive default in his mind seemed to be shutting down. If this had been somebody that you truly cared about, loved, embraced, what would you have done?
Now, who's the victim of elder abuse? Is Joe or is it us, the American people? Dr. Jill Biden's reportedly the fiercest advocate for her husband staying in. Why?
I think Jill would like to see him stay. She's having a good time. I notice she really seems to be having a good time. And I'm hearing that Hunter is calling the shots. So this isn't necessarily a very positive thing for our country.
Editorial boards across the country are begging Dr. Jill to pull the plug. But the Bidens don't listen to the press. They don't even talk to them. Biden thought the press was unfair while they were covering up for him. Joe was forced out of a presidential campaign before. He doesn't want to cave again. Plus, you can't beat the perks. Jill Biden likes being first lady so much, she reportedly has her own Hail to the Chief style entrance theme song that she makes the Marine Corps band play for her. Plus, school's out for summer, so Jill isn't teaching. She's traveling. Gets to campaign for her husband and fly around on nice jets. Kevin McCarthy revealing that Dr. Jill would often sit in on high-level meetings.
Jill doesn't want to leave either. Many times when we had meetings in the Oval Office, Jill was there as well.
Interesting. Wait, so the First Lady was in some of your meetings about policy?
Many times Jill would come
wow.
in. There was one time when I'd sit there and the president said something on in this famous tour down to the pool saying, do you want to go outside? Jill turns very quickly when she hears that and says, no, they don't want to go outside, because she knew exactly what position he was in and what he was doing. And then he just turns around. You don't want to go outside? And then let us outside. Many times, I don't think she's there for policy. I think she's there to give him comfort and direct the meeting.
Former Jill Biden press secretary Michael LaRosa is back. All right, Mike, before we get to Dr. Jill,
if you can pause that just
is,
for a second.
Is Hunter...
The reason, and you keep that up, the reason I'm playing this is because these are the insiders that know and are complicit in the cover-up. We have to identify these people and act accordingly against these people when the time comes. Go ahead.
Really calling the shots?
Well, I doubt he's calling the shots, but, you know, I have to say, Hunter has, you know, he has pretty good media savvy instincts of his own.
He
you
does?
Know? I guess the answer to that would be, where's Jim Comer today? I mean, it was really Hunter who beat back House Republicans on his own. It was not with no help from the White House or the campaign, that's for sure. He was kind of left without any cover or air support. And, you know, he pulled sort of some Trumpian moves. He came out there, he was confrontational, used the element of surprise, directly communicated, and sort of was able to manipulate the media to win the coverage at the end of the day and shape some of the narrative. So, look, you say what you want about Hunter.
Mike, he's also convicted
good.
Of felony gun charges and is facing tax felonies in a trial in September. I'm not sure he's as savvy as you say
so
he is, but tell
so
me more.
So was the nominee, though. So
right.
was the nominee.
Right. Tell me a little bit about Dr. Jill. We don't know her the way you know Dr. Jill. She apparently is telling Joe stay in and isn't listening to the press or anyone at all. Why?
No. So one thing that was so interesting about the George Stephanopoulos interview, when he said that if we lose, he will have given it his all, and he got a lot of flack for that, right? It reminded me so much of what happened in 87, because as soon as he dropped out that same day, he was going into a hearing to chair the Bork hearings, and this really was going to be like the next step for political rehab for him. Well, Jill was with him in the anteroom, and she heard him say something very similar, like, well, at least I can go focus on this hearing now, and she cut him off and took him by the shoulders and just kind of told by the lapels and said, no, you have to go effing win. And because she knew that was sort of a rehabilitation moment for him. And, you know, they were driven from that campaign. And I think they learned a long time ago they were not going to let blind quotes or polls or pundits really push them out ever again. And I think that that moment was scarring for them, Jesse. You know, that she had never seen his character, his integrity attacked before. He had been groomed to run for president for 15 years. He was our next. He was a great rising hope, and that the way that campaign ended was pretty devastating for them. But it was a huge learning lesson in sort of political combat.
You heard,
and, you know, she's from Philly, like you, so she likes to fight.
Yeah, you know, we love to fight. We like to scrap, and we'll just do it for fun. We don't even care. Did you hear Michael Moore at the top accuse Dr. Jill Biden of elder abuse? What would Dr. Jill say to that?
What she would say is that she hates politics, but she loves him. And he never got in the way of her career. She wasn't going to get in the way of his. They just never did that with their both of their aspirations. It just wasn't. It's not a Leave It to Beaver 1950s, you know, comedy for them. It's they're pretty independent. They lived independent professional lives outside of each other's shadows. So she would never. She would probably not. This is his decision, you know. Jill and the advisors and his sister and his family are probably there and giving advice. But Jill alone won't make this decision. And I don't know if Democrats really want her to be making the decision for the party. And I don't think she would want that decision. I don't think she's comfortable with it.
So she's not going to advise him out of anything. She's just going to support whatever he wants. And we know Joe wants to win. We know he might lose, but he wants to stay in.
That's right.
Okay, all right. Mike, great to see you. Have to be-
as much, I mean, regardless of what, regardless of what anyone thinks, you have a man who is not up to being president today, certainly not up to campaigning in the 2024 election. You now have Joe Biden, who is so addicted to the frills of being first lady that she really doesn't want to give that up. So she's using her husband as the prop in this election. But even worse, as reported by Breitbart today, you've got Hunter Biden, the convicted felon. Hey, media likes to use that phrase. The convicted felon, Hunter Biden, acting as Joe Biden's chief of staff. And you may say, well, you know, Don Jr. and others, they weren't the best role models either. Well, they weren't convicted felons. But here's the deal. Let me remind you of this. Hunter Biden received $5 million interest-free, forgivable loan on behalf of the Biden family from a Chinese businessman with Intel ties in 2017. And it was never paid back. You think that's enough to keep them in the White House? So what's the remedy for the left, for the hardcore Marxist communist left? Folks, I'm telling you, they've got to get rid of Joe in the most sanitary way possible, if you know what I mean. I'm telling you right now, when John Kirby came out and said, well, you know, when he was asked about the middle of the night 3 a.m. phone call recently, I'm not sure if you heard about that exchange. It was a 30-second exchange. Kirby said, well, he's got a lot of people around him that are able to assist him in making decisions. Again, that's not how this government is supposed to work. So you've got this coup right now within a coup. And I suspect, and I hope I'm wrong, but I do suspect that Biden will be a sacrificial, will be sacrificed to keep the Marxist plot, communist plot going. I hope all of those clips, the audio and video clips, make sense and created this mosaic of the agenda ahead. Thank you.